Yeah, it's always off key. And we cannot hear your laundry machine either. And not your heater. Always the Dutch. Mr. Tomb Raider doesn't want to speak to us, huh? I'm sure he cannot find his microphone. Oh, it's a built-in mic, so he should be able to find them. Drop that beer, okay? Oh! Oh, I hear you!
Fucking hell. I'm here?
Yes, you are!
Finally.
God damn it!
Audio setup of awesome! Is the sound okay?
I don't hear any heater.
News, infos, stuff from all over the sea.
Sign. The radio show. With your host, Axel and Aki.
Oh, we've started! So, a podcast. A podcast. A podcast. A cast of pod. A cast made of pod or a pod made of cast. Either way, we're here. We're back. It's Axel. Axel. It's Axel.
That's a great start.
It's Vincenzo. And it's me, Axel. Axel and Aki are back with the end of the year mastermind podcast of awesome and great things that happened in the demo scene of 2008.
That we don't have a clue of.
It's the official title of this podcast. And it's a special podcast because it's the first podcast in the history of this podcast that we have guests.
Well, more than one, that is.
We had more than one guests. That's why I said guests.
Damn.
So podcast, how many times did I say podcast already in the last minute?
Podcast. We have some podcast in the podcast, right?
So. We have a podcast. We have guests. We have very special guests on this last episode.
Anyway, thanks for your nice feedbacks for the last one, because actually it seemed like you did have quite some fun, as much as we had with recording the last one, so that was great.
Yes.
So we decided to quickly make another one so we can wrap up the year.
Yes.
And we have two guests this time around who will be joining us later tonight. That's going to be Gloom of Excess and Purix of, well, TBC or Loonies or both.
They're all a big family.
All right. And even more important is that Purix is from Denmark, so he can explain to us the whole pants down initiative or whatever you want to call it,
and all the other weird things that the Danes do.
Actually, it was fun when I was actually inviting Purix earlier this week. He was telling me that of course he will be joining us. He even installed Skype just for us because he didn't have it. And then he said, well, TBC as a whole is discussing right now like crazy when exactly the whole pants down thing started. So can you actually give a quick introduction on the pants down thing for those listeners who don't know what it's all about?
Oh yeah, okay. In the last podcast we discussed the strange phenomena of the Danes when they watch competitions, especially the demo compo. They drop their pants and watch the competition in their underpants. And that's very peculiar behavior. So we were wondering why they do that. And hopefully Purix is gonna tell us everything about that and also why the Danes are so goddamn ripped and handsome. Because it's a mystery to me. I want to go to the bottom of this. And of course the second guest we have is Gloom, because we were talking about the gathering and got feedback that he said you should talk to somebody from the gathering, because every time you guys talk about it, it seems that you have no clue what's happening there. And he's right. So he's gonna talk to us about the gathering, and we're gonna talk to him about the demo scene here, about of course the outreach and we've seen all the parties that happened, everything. Just and then with everybody it's going to be one big happy talk. Expect lots of stuff, I guess.
Yeah. I think we should be starting with a great tune, one of the anthems of this year, probably the whole
I wanna ask, because okay, you wanna do one anthem, but I was actually thinking maybe we should also play Christmas music.
Should we?
From the demo scene.
Actually, that's a good idea. Then we drop.
And Vincenzo screams out, "No!"
And we say, "Yes."
It's only Bass Hut, Happy Hardcore. Okay, not all only, but some Christmas music as well. But okay, you want to start with what song?
Nah, I wanted to play the ooh la 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 tune.
Oh yeah, that was cute. That was fun.
And to get us into the right mood for some party mood, you know, I thought we could play this one. What do you think?
All right,
let's go.
It's from, as Vincenzo says, it's from the function In Vitro, I have no idea who made it. So Vincenzo, tell me. Sly Spy.
All right.
That's a very funny looking nickname when you type it out. You can also say Slispy.
So that's probably the name.
So yeah, from now on the guy is called Slispy. And he made the song called Ooh-la-la.
Okay, so let's go some Ooh-la-la.
We're back. That was quick. For us, it was quick, but for you, it wasn't. Haha. How does that work? Oh, and now I get told that the first pronunciation was correct. It's actually not Slispy that made this song. It's Sly Spy.
Too bad.
I like Slispy better.
Slispy's
Vincenzo convinced him to now use Slispy as pronunciation of his nickname.
Yep.
And tell him that Oxal said so.
Yeah, and hereby it's official, you know?
It's official. Okay, so that was music. Recap. Yeah, there was not much happened since the recording of the last podcast. Did you have something that you want to talk about before we bring in our guests?
Not really. What were the highlights for you, actually, of the year? I mean,
the highlights of the year? Well, one of the things that I did this year that was really fun was that I hosted Breakpoint, which,
yep,
when I got asked, scared the crap out of me. But it was actually good fun to do and to be at Breakpoint and to see it all happen. And I really liked that, and it was a good experience. So that was, for me, one of the high points.
And rightfully so, because he did really well.
Thank
I think
you.
The whole relaxed, you know, I mean, seriously, the whole relaxed.
Everybody saying that I was very relaxed, but you know, because I had no clue what to do. Basically,
it's the same with this podcast. Huh? We don't have a tip. It's the best.
No, I just went on stage. I went, "Hello, people. Yes, things happen." And
I hear there's a party.
Yes, but no, it's good fun. And being in the Breakpoint organizing team is a thing on itself.
Right.
Very friendly people they are. Very German people they are. friendly Germans. No, it was good fun, and I'll probably be back next year, so that was good fun. And of course, high points, yes, We had another outline in Holland. That was fun.
So you're going to come to Breakpoint?
Yes, of course. I'll be there.
Of course. Are you going to host again?
That's what I said just before. I'll probably be back next year. I'll probably be hosting as well.
That's good.
I'm still on the Breakpoint mailing list. They haven't shut me off yet. So Scampo's pretty happy, so I was very honored. So I'll probably be back with more hosting, actually, than what I did this year. So. And what was really fun was actually, I can shout it out as well, I did the whole bit with doing the interviews in the French accent.
Oh, that was fun. I was actually watching this again a few evenings ago.
And then
did you ever get a reaction from Metapath?
That's where I was getting at. I did that and I felt quite bad because there was some feud that was seen between Demoscene TV and Breakpoint. And I got the idea like I want to do this, and then I felt like, well, I might have offended Metapod. But then I met him at Evoke, and he was really cool about it, and I really liked that. He was like, no man, you just did a parody of me, and it's a pretty big honor. And that was really cool. I really appreciated that because I felt a bit bad. And I told him, like, you should now get a Dutch accent and impersonate me. I'm hoping that he will try that.
That's nice. That's fun. Good.
So yeah, that was my high points basically of what I did. And of course, well, production wise, I will quickly recap then. As I said last episode as well, Half-Baked Cheese made me a fan. And I don't think I've ever been a fan of a demo group before. And I am now. So that's really awesome. And I hope that these guys will never ever quit making wild demos, ever.
Yeah, they're a bunch of people. So let's see what they come up with, hopefully, for Breakpoint.
Yes, hopefully. We'll every time there is a new production, I'm eagerly downloading it. And
yeah, same here.
Very good stuff. Very good
stuff. I even like the fast-made ones, you know, where you're seeing that they didn't have that much time to spend on it, but still,
yeah,
it's
funny
enough.
I had that with I forgot the title, the one with the mirror.
Yep. I forgot too. I don't know.
As prepared as we always are, that one demo they made, it had a walk-in mirror, so everybody knows what I'm talking about. But even you could see that it wasn't finished, but it was like bursting with style, and the music was really awesome, and I was like, fucking hell, you guys.
Treadle.
And I always, for some reason, resort in like swear word street lingo. Like, it's for fucking street, sweet, dope ass shit. For some reason, I don't know why. It is. So, yeah, and what was your high point?
A Breakpoint again. I mean, I always like being at the party there. It's just a great ambience and meeting all the people again. So, I'm very much looking forward to that. What?
We didn't even meet back then.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, hopefully will this year. Or
absolutely.
Yeah, that was great. And so the concert, I mean, also working with Xerxes and Romeo on the concert, that was great fun. Preparing all the stuff, and then that was one of the high points for me. And actually making sure, one of the another high point was that actually people started liking Sign 13. And so after the complicated user interface from the Sign 12, so we see.
I wish you guys are doing a good job. It's like just a disc mag that actually feels like a magazine.
Let's skip the topic. We're too biased. No. Another high point. What else? Production wise, of course. I mean, there were many great productions. Pennygroom, all the HGs, Half the Cheese people productions, and plenty of others.
Yes.
I mean, what were your main productions that you can remember or that you think that were standing out?
I think we did this the last episode as well.
We did Stargazer, etc.
Yeah, Stargazer. Well,
actually, did you read the comment from K-Ops on Do It?
Yes.
You're a fucking fag.
No, but that's the thing between K-Ops and me. I mean, we both call each other fags and we love each other.
Yep.
That's the way it works. K-Ops, you're my French darling, you're my baguette, with fromage, etc.
Let's get the music and then invite some guests.
Let's do that. And okay, and then let's get it over with. I want to have one Christmas tune in there. Only one, Vincenzo, so don't worry. And I proposed Last Christmas by Go280. Which is awesome chiptune version of Last Christmas.
Alright, let's do that. We'll be right back. Thank you.
we're back. We have a beer. I'm nearly getting a new one, but I will be done in a split second.
Actually, I think we did a sucky job so far.
Of what? Of getting beer?
Podcast. Of talking nonsense.
So, who cares?
Let's get in some people who saved this mess.
Yeah, okay, you introduce them. I'll grab a quickly another beer, and I'll be back much quicker than you.
Alright, let's get the people, let's get Gloom in first so we can have some sound checks, and we'll So we'll be right back, we'll be playing a tune, and then we'll be back with Gloom. See you in a bit! Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Welcome, Gloom.
Is the sound okay?
So Bent, sing us a song so we can check if you sound okay.
sing me a song, the last one in my life.
Wow. That would be a good vocalist for a new metal band.
We were just talking about living in a box, so maybe you can sing that one as well.
Oh, dear Lord, no.
I'm sorry, Gloom, by the way, that I offended you badly.
Well, you're Dutch. You don't know any better.
What do we know about music?
Yeah. You would have no Venga Boys. I'll rest my case.
Do not diss the Venga Boys, because it's a
it's just, yeah, Vincenzo just told me I was a little loud.
Yeah, but it's the last thing you said.
Yeah, sure.
Now he's been eaten by Hungarian sharks that roam the streets at night.
Okay, well, I can tell you that I have, it looks like I have the same amount of green bars as you two guys when you speak, so.
All right.
According to Skype, we're equal. Okay.
All right.
That's a very nice, like, according to Skype, everybody.
Yeah.
Skype is like
Josh. You know? We'll let you know.
All right. Okay. So, well, welcome, Gloom, to the podcast.
Thank you.
One and only.
The one and only podcast. Oh, yes.
The best podcast in the damn
world.
The
only one you need ever.
Thank you very much for joining us, because basically you proposed yourself.
No, I didn't.
Well, what? You said that we have no idea what the gathering is about.
Oh, that's true.
And you were right, because you have absolutely no clue.
Well, so then I was a bad pick for that, because I haven't arranged a gathering for 3 years, so maybe you should...
Well, and then other stuff we want to talk to you about as well.
Yeah. Okay.
About the past year, about the MV scene.
Sure.
Maybe give you some time, because if you felt there was some bad talking, you could give us your opinion.
Sure.
And stuff,
of course. Always stuff.
Lots of stuff, always.
First of all, of course, we need to discuss why the soundtrack of Stargazer was not among your favorites.
Okay.
I'm an honest man. It's a good song. It's a good song, and it fitted the demo very well. But it just didn't really do it for. It felt a bit flat for me.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, it's probably, it's personal. So.
I have no problem with that.
Okay.
At all.
How did you approach the soundtrack, actually, Gloom? I mean, did you see a lot of a preview or something, or when did you start the song?
I started the song. I actually started, and don't tell anyone this, but I started on the track for an Excess demo.
It's very smart to say don't tell anybody.
Yes.
Anybody. You're in the podcast telling us, but continue.
He doesn't know.
Go on.
Well, I just started. I had like 30 seconds or something, and then I was approached by the guys about completing the demo that was meant for Breakpoint, as probably everyone knows by now. And then the things that I actually finished are the ones that are at the very end of the demo. Now, that was the first thing I made, and then I got a preview, like a video capture preview, and then just started timing everything according to that. And then when the track was finished, about I guess 50% of the visuals were finished. So. The rest just came after that, so it was like back and forth.
Right. Wasn't Interface involved in the beginning as well in the soundtrack, or how did
not this one. He made the one for, like, the first one for Breakpoint. They had a different soundtrack, completely different, and it's great, by the way. So I hope it makes it to a Andromeda demo or someone else's demo sometime, because it's really cool.
That's the problem of musicians, isn't it? That you make a lot of songs and a lot of them end up shelved. Never being used. I know that problem as well.
Yeah, but so, it's not just that. It's like you you work on a track, and then the coder or designer like starts bitching you really hard. Like, you have to finish this. You have to change this. And then you work like day and night and during the party and everything. And then it's like, oh, I didn't have time to finish the demo. So, well, boohoo, sucks to you. And it's like, what? Screw you guys. I worked all night on this.
Yeah, I know that feeling very well. I think about 15 songs. Lib Ninja has a backlog of my tunes, and then they always think, oh, we used somebody else's song. I'm like, okay.
Vincenzo probably knows this as well. I guess.
Four musicians in a world of harsh coders and designers.
Those bastards.
So when did you actually finish the soundtrack for Stargazer?
I finished it... the last edit was done, I think, a week before I went to San Jose.
Right.
And Vincenzo told me, musicians hate coders, of course.
And that's just the way it works.
Yeah.
But okay, now we're on the Stargazer and NV scene. Do you want to say anything about NV scene and things that you think are misconceptions or you want to have cleared? Because now is the chance.
Yes. Well, it's not really a matter of misconceptions per se. It's just, I guess it's a typical internet attitude. If you weren't there, if you don't really know what you're talking about, you just, you know, shout about as loud as you can and throw bad words and bad phrases around and you talk about something you actually don't know anything about, which happens all the time, which is not something new. It's just, it's new when it happens to you. Because you take it a bit personally, of course, when you arrange the party. Which is the same with the gathering and everything else.
But of course, I mean, NV scene was kind of a project that had questions arise. I mean,
of
course, very different than your conventional demo party, so it's no wonder that people will...
Now, did you say different from the commercial demo party or
conventional? Like normal.
Okay.
Yeah, like the usual demo party. Yeah, that's a commercial. Yeah, it was absolutely different. Because even I was skeptic myself.
Sure.
Afterwards, a bit less, but still kind of skeptic against the whole deal. I must say that Temis's explanation on Demo Scene TV, at one point he had a little interview.
Yeah. It
cleared up a lot of stuff, so that was very good. Because it was kind of shady for people with the kids handing out and
yeah.
Some people like, well, we get it, and it's but why, and is this the right, I mean, of course, is this the right direction for the demo scene, which is, you can discuss that to death, so we shall not do it now.
Direction? Like, is the whole demo scene moving in that direction now?
No. That's what I mean.
I was actually surprised,
I must say, that it had some impact, but everybody was, before NV scene, going, NV scene killed 2008,
yeah, yeah.
And then afterwards, like, well, it wasn't that bad, actually.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all in all... Sorry?
Like, we knew it would be like that. Everyone was, like, at the height of the frenzy and going, like, oh, you killed the demo scene, you commercialized the demo scene, and screw you, and then afterwards it was like, oh, well... What's next? You know, it's like, you know it's going to be like that, so you just work through and we hope to be able to do it again, so.
All right. Well, I always be a bit skeptic, I guess, but I wish you good luck, of course, because it's...
I can understand being skeptic, but it's... I think, I can't remember who said it, actually. I think it was one of the guys who went there, but someone said there was like a bit like a demo scene convention, which is a nice way to describe it. It was like a demo party, and you could drink there, and you had this huge, actual size, big screen, and you had this amazing sound system and cool guys, and a very strange first thing, which is a lot of Americans around you, which doesn't happen a lot. So it's you have to take care, you know, with the jokes.
It was probably also a lot more focused, no? I mean, people.
Sorry?
I think it was also probably a lot more focused, I can imagine, because you have less people just being there to drink and more people to actually do something. Or
oh yeah, yeah, sure. It was be there to work, but it was, I think most of the people finished a lot of the stuff beforehand, as usual. But it was very nice. It was a very nice like social attitude, and we had like barbecue food outside on the patio there, and there was beer in the evenings, and it was very, you know, all the typical shit that goes into arranging demo parties with equipment malfunctioning, and you know, the projector cuts out like 2 minutes before the competition starts, and you have to buy this new bulb that costs like €1,000, and you can only get it from this small shop that closed 5 minutes ago, and all these kinds of things. It doesn't really happen, because when stuff went bad, like one of the mixers cut out, one of the audio mixers, there was like, oh, we have two spares, you know, so it's like, oh. At some point we were like, okay, so this is actually arranged for us. We just gave them a plan and they followed, which was nice.
Oh,
yeah, I like what you say about it. It was more of a convention than a demo party.
Yeah, it was.
It was a different thing. Just the feeling that I got from the impressions that Demo Scene TV gave us as well. Like, you were indeed at the bigger convention and part of it. So it's, and I must admit, it's nice from Nvidia to do this, even though I will always have my question marks, but nonetheless, well done.
Would it be different if it was someone else? Like, someone who make graphic cards, or like if it was Intel or if it was
I don't think that would have mattered, because it was it's a big company. If it's a big company that arranges something, it's you get that discussion that has been and we shouldn't do that in the podcast now, the whole discussion. I mean, we've done that to death this year. So
sure. What we can summarize then is that it's not really a bad thing what happened, or I know what are your impressions? Like there was some, what if you're just like Joe Demosiner watching Poet, and then this whole shitload of demos starts rolling in, and you think, oh, NBC, what's that? And then there's that. Is that something bad or something good?
I think it's good for indeed for the new Joe Demosiner that comes, but I still think that lots of people still have a bit of sour aftertaste, like long-term demo sceners about the new, but it's always with the new thing. So
just one thing before we leave this, and the Intel demo competition, then isn't that even worse? Because you have to be invited and accepted first.
Yeah, but Intel demo competition doesn't. Okay, they gave away some hardware, so that's a really good point. Sure.
Everyone got hardware.
It's a smaller scale, I think, and much more onto their own. Well, this was much more getting everybody involved, and I can imagine that people will go like, but why, and who are you to tell me what to do? And I mean, but of course, this is what happens. I mean, there's been talk about this for the last months, especially the months before NVC, and there was lots of discussion going on.
Yeah.
So I think in the end, for me, I think that it was a lot after NVC, it was a lot less intrusive than I thought it would be. For the demo
That's good.
And I think that was a good thing.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the things that came out of it.
Yes. Something
I think overall it was a very good thing, actually, because I think it got demos to a wider audience as well. I mean, what were your perception at the place there? I mean, did people actually join discussions from outside?
Oh, yeah.
Or, I mean, can you name some examples maybe, or...?
One example I think has been named by Gargai. there was this, I say kid, but that's just because I'm starting to get old. There was this guy, I guess, like 25 or something, 20, was Isaac. Well, he looked younger. He was a security guard at the door, and it was like, you could see him, and you knew he didn't like fit in. His jacket was just way too big, and he was just a little too artistic. And he carried a notepad with him all the time. And we started talking to him, and it turns out he was an artist, and he drew and makes paintings and everything. And he specifically requested being put at the demo scene like area, at the end of the scene area, instead of somewhere else, because he wanted to see the demo scene and stuff, which was really cool. So we talked to him a lot, and he was very into it. But there were always this kind of walk-ins, and of course we were the loudest at the party place. Very often we played music very loud. Actually, at one point we had to stop playing or turn down the music because the 3D cinema screening that was going on wall to wall got complaints. So.
Good.
You did well.
Leave a footprint.
Yes. That was very cool. But yeah, we had a lot of walk-ins, people going by and saying, "What the devil is this?" And then you stand there like strategically in the door opening and go like, "Oh, this is real time, by the way." And they go, like, "No shit, no way." And then you start talking and have a coffee with them. And well, you never know what comes out of these conversations, and you never know if you're talking to like a college student or a university professor or, you know, like the boss of NVIDIA. You never know. So, but we have gotten like lots of feedback and a lot of interesting mails from people after the event, so we still have contact with them.
And I think it's really nice for the States because it's
they desperately
really hard. There's some very dedicated listeners in the United States trying very hard to get it off the ground.
Sure.
And for them, I really liked it that there was something they could get to and have their share of demo party.
Like every continent needs like a big party that you can go to every year, and a lot of smaller parties, not just one small party or two, but you know, a lot of them. So that especially in the US, because it's so freaking huge.
All right. Well, thank you for clarifying.
Can I ask one more question regarding your presentation you had about the demo scene with Garga and Steeler? I remember that because I was seeing it a while ago, and he was Temis was asking some questions regarding interactivity, and the only thing that I saw was that really that you defended it, so Garga immediately was on defensive mode, and regarding, you know, like, interaction, no way, because it's meant like this, and, you know,
yeah.
I was thinking, I mean, I thought the question was actually quite good, because there's not so much to add to it to get some interactivity going on. I mean, I'm probably Lingering Shadows showed this, and
very special case, because it would round up be interactive, and if you ever try to move the camera in an access demo, you will be shocked of what you will find if you turn it around. So
yeah, sure.
Every demo that's like in real time, all the shit behind is like not meant to be seen.
Yes.
Yeah, but still, I mean, I mean, there could be some smaller scale interactivity, but why exactly is it like this? That the demo scene really, I mean, I think it's quite a phenomenon within the demo scene that no one really is even striving for interactivity. Could you imagine
why should we? Like, I understand the question. I think it's a question we get asked all the time, or I get asked often, but it's like, I think Garga gave a perfect example, like the photograph. Why didn't you take the photograph two meters to the left? Why did you, you know, adjust the compensation or exposure? Why did you, you know, change the hue to red? Why did you? Because that's my photograph. That's my demo. I want it to look like that. I want it to move just exactly like that. And especially when it comes to interactivity, there is a huge thing when it comes to demos, and that's control of time. Not just, you know, in order to build an entire experience, you don't let the viewer, pardon the pun, linger in one scene and then move on to another one, because that destroys the whole flow when it comes to music. Otherwise, we would have to make music that's, you know, dynamic and starts all over and fades.
But it happened like that in early demos before the track model was invented. Demos were parts that you sometimes manually had to skip.
Yes.
So it grew, and for me, interactivity in demos, I think it's still growing, and why not? I mean, I
have no problem with that. I love Linger in Shadows.
All right. So anything kind of that might actually be a new category, like the demo that is like between a demo and a game, basically.
And it's interesting as well, with the case of Linger in Shadows, with regards to the C.org awards and other, you know, DiscMag voting and stuff like that. It's starting to be, the whole picture is starting to be a little muddled now, so where should we put it? Where should we put equals, like Make Your Own Demo, or what is it called? Make Your Own Demo, I think?
Do It Yourself. It was called
Do It Yourself Demo, that's right.
Yeah, it was actually made
very hard to play with the trackpad, by the way. You have to use external mouse.
It was actually pretty fun because Mnemonix and Avuzel already left, and Zax was in charge of playing the demo during the competition. He's like, I shouldn't lose too much because people will lose interest. So he has like to finish all the parts sometime, and it was good fun.
Yeah, you don't want to play the same part over and over.
Especially the one with the space bar. And it was like, do it once. He failed once during one minigame. And that whole thing was actually made in one day at Outline, just for the hell of it. So,
Linear
demos from Mnemonix and Avuzel are usually made, it's like, let's make something all right.
That and Star Control 2 was the most played game at kindergarten this year.
Kindergarten, nice. Good point.
Yeah.
Because, like we talked about last year, in the last podcast, we said that kindergarten, judging only from the photos, seemed like the most fun party of the year.
It was very fun.
I'm not hearing anything right now. Anyone there still there? Hello.
We're back.
Yeah. We're back.
What happened?
Technical difficulties, I guess.
I guess, yes. The call got dropped or something.
Yeah.
Probably the moment we talked about kindergarten, everyone thought, no.
Yeah. Skype. Oh, no. More Nordic conspiracies.
Not again.
Because the last thing I asked was, I want to talk about The Gathering
and
ask Gloom all the misconceptions that we had.
Are there any?
Well, you said that we had no idea what we were talking about, so clear it up for us.
Well, I just said that every time you talk about The Gathering, you just say, oh, well, we don't know, which is true. But I don't know. I don't know what you want to know.
What kind of party is it for Norway and for the Norwegian demo scene?
I think, and I can say this like from being an ex-organizer, that I think the Gathering was instrumental in not only the Norwegian demo scene, but in the demo scene in general. I don't think before there was the giant Mecha Symposium and Breakpoint, and before there was the party, and before there was everything. Well, not the party. There was the Gathering. It's just more of a name and a place to be if you're in the Norwegian demo scene, I guess. I wish it wasn't like that. I wish more people would come, but it's always a problem with the conflict of dates with regards to Breakpoint. But maybe, like many people do, go for, you know, 1 or 2 days and then go to Germany afterwards. That would be something to do this year or next year. Just a suggestion.
Did Gathering ever consider actually choosing another date because of this? Because probably Breakpoint is not going to care.
No, but you have to see it in the eyes of the organizers as well. Like, this is a
4 days of money instead of 3 days of money.
it's a complete week. The week that it's for, it's a vacation week. Right. In Norway, so everyone has the days off, and it can't change. Basically, you can't change if it's supposed to be a four and a half day event. You can't move it somewhere else. Right. Also, it's like a 5,000 plus people event, so you can't just get up and move that because 800 people in Germany doesn't want to play with you. And then, of course, as time went on, the demo scene focus sort of shifted. Or got less focus, but there was never actually considered, as far as I know, to move the party. But one thing that was considered was taking the demo scene part out and making a new party that didn't conflict with any other party.
Right.
Which I was wholeheartedly against at that time, and still am, because if you can't expose people already interested in making animations and playing games and whatever to the demo scene, then you kind of already, you know, that's admitting defeat. You have to be able to at least try to get these people interested. And a lot of people are interested, but it's the follow-up that's missing.
Do you think that if you do a separate party, people will not show up, basically?
It'll probably just be another party, like any of the others. And basically, the Gathering is probably one of the possibilities where you can actually reach out to other people outside of the demo scene. That's probably the point, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and people who are already sort of interested, not just, you know, like picking up the shotgun and do shotgun marketing on everyone, like star.star. You just go for the people who actually have computers and are interested in computers already, which is a good starting point. But we did take the first Solskogen was arranged by the Gathering demo group. So at some point we actually took that out as well. So we did, I guess.
Good.
So, and then for Norway, because I must always say that I find it a bit sad that I don't meet the Norwegians at Breakpoint.
Yeah.
So it's
There are a few.
But it was last time I realized that I met Duckers only at like scene events and like other parties.
Yeah, that had to be like 2002 or something, 2003, I guess.
Yeah, 2005. Well, I helped out the Norwegians with music.
Okay.
Good fun, and Duckers is so cuddly.
He is the cuddliest of all sceners, apart from Garga, of course. But when we're talking about Duckers and the Gathering, he is now the head of the demo group at the Gathering. And also, rumor has it that a lot of the old guys are actually going back and doing something this year. So if anyone considered going to the Gathering for meeting some Norwegian demo sceners and Swedish and some Danes as well, then this year might be the one to go, because there will be a new floor plan as well, a new way to be seated so that everyone sits together, and some other really cool stuff that Duckers and the guys are working on. So,
but are you going?
Nobody can spoil that for anyone. What? Sorry?
Are you going to go?
Not for the entire party, because I'm a father now, so I have to change diapers and stay awake all night.
Congratulations with that as well, still.
How's it going, bro?
Yeah, it's great. I don't know if you can hear, but she's screaming her lungs out right now, because I think her mother is changing the diapers.
Oh, poor baby.
Yeah. I'll send you a picture afterwards.
I say we should get Purix in now as well.
Yep, I'm going to do that.
To join us in this big talk. Thank you, Gloom, for elaborating and stay, please, with us.
Sure. And we have to get the answer with the pants.
The pants. Yeah.
The pants question is coming
Durex, in. Durex will now, once and for all, tell us what it's all about with these crazy, crazy Danes.
Yep. It's ringing.
And so while
you'll be with us in a second. And
I'll quickly say to Gloom, I don't know if you know the television series Pushing Daisies.
I do.
Have you seen the last episode?
No, I think I saw like 5 episodes and I got bored with it.
I'm following it now, and the last one had Norwegians in it, and it's very good.
Excellent. Like,
it's Norwegians in a very fun way.
So we have Purix in now.
Purix is here.
Hello. Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Hello. You sound kind of robotic.
I sound robotic?
Oh, that's
no, you sound more like you're like locked up in a toilet.
Well, thanks a lot. I'm not locked up in a toilet. I've just been there, though.
Very good. Okay, so welcome, Purix.
Thank you.
Of the Danish demo scene.
Yes, that's
and a much anticipated guest you are. We have many, many, many questions for you.
Actually, I also have to say that we didn't get Dane on here. I didn't reach him. I dropped a message to Jailbird of Boost Design, and he didn't check it yet. So we'll have to talk to Dane in one of the upcoming podcasts about what Dane thinks about the Danish tradition of dropping pants.
But we have Purix in. We're waiting. Explain it to us, please.
But bring it on.
Well, it's quite hard because actually after you did your last episode, we had a little chat on the TBC channel here in Denmark because actually none of us can remember why we dropped our pants back then.
I wonder why that is.
A fun party just happened, and it felt so good.
Dropping pants always happens. I mean, it happens when I go to get some groceries, you know?
You stand there with your pants on, and just suddenly, they're on.
You know? I'm sitting there at the cashier, and I just drop my pants.
We're just some very warm people here in Denmark, so... How about pants?
Because it's now becoming noticed by everybody, especially at Breakpoint as well, and all of a sudden all the Danes were half naked.
Inventor's telling us he dropped his pants now.
Oh, I'm glad this isn't a camera chat.
you, very good.
You are lucky because I'm actually naked, covered in peanut butter.
Actually, I think it's Axel without pants, so all you other guys, you should actually know how it looks anyway. So
yeah, we know it looks, but it's unclear why it happened.
It's unclear why. I can't remember if I remember that we're dancing to some loud drum and bass. I think back in 2001 at
Cinemate.
No, some real drum and bass, and I can't remember if we it was something with having your butt in the bass, putting your butt up to the loudspeaker. I can't remember if it was that or if it was just.
I like it already. Like, it just kind of happened. I mean, we were there, and you know, all of a sudden everybody was like, "Just take off your clothes." We were like,
I had a bass up my butt.
So that explains all the Danish musicians make drum and bass, or
no? That's not true. You know that, Gloom. That's not true at all.
all Norwegians and all Danish people always make this drum and bass music.
Yes.
Why can't you innovate?
Make some nice podcasts for us, or bossa nova music.
At least we could agree in the TBC channel that what happened was, as we dropped our pants, it got cozy, and we liked that.
all the Danish demo parties I've been to always go prone on being very cozy, and they are they're very friendly and barbecuey and beery.
So it kind of stuck, and over the years we tried to promote it at various parties, and I think the last couple of years we really got some more people running along with the dropping your pants stuff. So
no, you don't. It's still the Danes, I think.
No. You have to.
And Nico, but Nico is like he's Danish. He's
anyway,
so it doesn't really count. I promote it, and more people should drop their pants during a demo competition, even though the funk will be more funky smell-wise at a party, but it's, I think...
Starting to get really worried about Breakpoint, guys.
Yeah, if everybody at Breakpoint drops their pants, the smell will be unbearable.
Or would you have noticed at all? I don't know.
Is it that much of a difference?
Yeah, exactly. I guess not. Good point there. But do you Danes have more crazy traditions except for dropping the pants?
Well, I guess the pants stuff is the most crazy stuff anyway. We have some tradition to some extent that we cheer on tunnels and demos, which happens quite a few times. You know,
is that because of Rasmus and a big amount of tunnels? I don't really remember what there was a feud between the Danes and the Dutch with color schemes and cubes and flat shading. Never mind.
I think it started back some years ago as Dwarf from TBC was a jury of the scene.org awards, and we had a TBC gathering watching a lot of demos because we wanted to see the demos from the last year, and we got drunk and some demos were quite boring, so we had to drink on every tunnel, and then it kind of took off.
That's a pretty good drinking game.
Yep.
No, it's not.
I know a better one, though. If you upgrade it to drink every time you see a cube, then that will be a fun party.
Oh, God, yes. That will be awesome. I'll try that one day.
Or every time...
Hey, okay, you're hosting Breakpoint, right? So you can probably throw that rule out into the open.
I can arrange stuff. Might happen.
Yeah.
The Norwegians should drink every time they have a drum and bass track in their demo.
Oh, that would be... We'll be shit-faced all the time.
So when the Dutch will drink every time there are more than 25 gazillion colors on screen. We like that.
Actually, you're talking about people running along the dropping pants stuff. This year at Breakpoint, I was entering the balcony, you know, upstairs to watch some combo. I can't remember which one. Probably because I was drunk.
Probably.
And I was greeted by some Finns that were sitting there without their pants and said, "Hey, you take your pants off when you sit down here." I was like...
That has nothing to do with demo competitions. That's just a Finn's way.
As less close as possible.
That's happening.
Sauna and the salmiak.
Yeah, combined.
I still wonder. I've never been to a Finnish demo party, and I want to go there just because of the sauna that's always there. That must be awesome. Yeah.
Apart from at the assembly, you have to be invited though to the VIP sauna. VIP sauna.
A VIP sauna.
Yeah, you can actually watch the big screen from the sauna, which is nice.
That sounds
awesome. Or from, yeah.
That's awesome.
We should do a VIP pants dropping zone at Danish parties, I guess.
VIP area where only like you're only allowed in if you're not wearing pants.
I'll supervise and I'll tell people when they're doing it right, you know.
It's an art form.
If I have summed it up correctly, you don't have a clue at all when you started doing this stuff.
Yes, when? It was in 2001. I'm pretty sure about that. Also, there's a lot of what do you call it? A lot of images of that.
Evidence. It's called evidence.
evidence, exactly. On Slangpung, anyway. And then, well, you're welcome to browse the pictures because.
There is one very disturbing set of photos, I think, from Scene Event 2001. With a lot of people's genitalia.
Shit. I hope that you didn't remember that, Aki.
I know, and I recommend everybody that's listening now to go to Slangpung, and you can see various Danish demo sceners intimate parts.
I have to correct
exposed.
You, because it's not from 2001.
Is it even earlier?
I don't know when it's from.
He doesn't want to tell.
But you're in there as well, Purix, I think.
Yeah, I know that.
It's a black page.
Actually, I have to remind that a lot of times, you know. A lot of times that I'm in that sequence of images.
Okay, can you make sure it's going to be shown at Breakpoint on the big screen?
On the big screen. And we can play a game like guess whose intimate parts these are. And then people have to guess which Danish demo scene they're looking at.
In actual size.
Should be fun.
In actual size. It should be huge. Yes, okay, well, enough about that. It's but about the Danish demo scene, it seems to be a lot smaller than it used to be.
No shit.
That's right. I think we've had almost the same small size for three, four years now. Occasionally, some of the old people are coming back, but I think we have a small core of people that are doing stuff still. And it's mostly TBC, but sometimes loonies and some other old guys are coming along anyway.
Is it because the party got cancelled and it was a place for Danish to go to?
No, not at all. I think it's useful stuff with people getting older and losing contacts, you know, people getting jobs and traveling abroad and all that.
Mm-hmm.
We still talk together, but most people are busy doing their lives and doing their jobs, so it's just the typical getting old stuff.
It's happening everywhere, but the Dutch demo scene is now officially 12 people, so...
I don't have a count, I think we're a bit more than 12, but...
And Mentor is in all of the groups.
No, he's not. He's actually not. He's only one.
I think Purex is in all of the groups.
He is.
Purex is in all the groups. Purex, what do you think can be done? Like, if you want to... Or put it a different way, why are you still doing demos then?
I don't know.
If everyone goes old.
Quickly grabbing another beer. I'll be right back.
Me too. Bye.
Oh, we'll have the Nordic edition.
I don't know why I'm in the demo scene still. I think it's a combination of the fascination when you're at the party and you have this anticipation about what's coming in the compos and am I going to do something really awesome this year or at this party? Now, for me, it's also participating in the compos. It wasn't that much for like four or five years and before that, because I was only attending mostly and doing just, well, tiny stuff.
But now that you've got good, you want to prove yourself and then throw your hat in the ring?
Well, now it's more fun participating. Now I want... You know, I want to have the competition, which is fun because you kind of reach a level where you can be among the top people. That's fun too. But it's not the only fun you have. Sorry.
You guys are doing really well as well. I mean, there's a Loonies, TBC, Junk.
Yes, we.
Lots of good stuff coming from Denmark. So.
Yeah, we had an awesome year this year. I think, you know, with the few people we have a kind of revival this year. Also, we managed to pull off a full bus of Danes attending Breakpoint. We haven't done that for several years. Well, last year we did as well, but before that it was like 10 people or something like that attending. So we are, the people that are left are getting more together now.
That's nice. It was really nice to see Rasmus at Breakpoint.
Yes.
I haven't seen him in years. Like, what the hell are you doing here? Very, very cool. Keep that up and do you know if Junk coming back to Breakpoint?
Actually, I don't know. Some of the Junk, one of the Junk members got a new job at IR Interactive, so I don't know if there's the same time. He's one of the main graphicians, and I don't know if he has the same time anymore. I think they would like to. I think they're coming, but if they have something, well, I don't know. I don't know if they have secret plans. I didn't know that much about their wild demo last year. Anyway,
he got a job at IO Interactive.
Yes.
What's his name?
It's Trenox.
Yeah, but his real name.
Oh, it's first
name. So, because this is for me for future reference.
Okay.
I won't say more. Never mind. I kind of know the guys from IO Interactive, but it's okay. But I hope that they're back because the ETA was absolutely awesome.
I think so too. It was really awesome.
Pretty surefire candidate for best animation, I'd say.
Yeah, what I really like about Junk is that they are technically very good, but also the jokes that they do in older animations it's always quite short, to the point, and funny, like really funny. And I really like that, because it's really hard to make something good and funny as well. And especially with ETA, it's still funny to look at, and the joke is well done. So
they're very good at doing the stuff short and nice.
Yeah, I really, really liked it. So let's hope for what the Scene.org awards might bring for them. Yeah, the Battle Happy Cheese, which is hard. So
now you're almost doing that voice again, Aki.
What?
The voice.
Oh, yes.
You went into the awards mode.
Actually, I got a talk from Laya. I was like, are you doing it again? I was like, yeah, probably.
Yes, very likely.
Yes, I actually might be back. It's kind of a given now. It's always good fun, especially when you get the list with all the names that are unpronounceable. Looking forward to that.
So you're hoping for less Finnish nominations this year? Or?
Actually, the worst was Caladox with their 4Ks in 2004.
Oh, yeah, the whole series.
And
yes,
Anorgatronicum and Panopticum, and God damn it, man, think of something easy to say. That was horrible.
Void Connect, right?
Yeah, but that was on purpose.
Okay.
Void Connect.
Because the year before I did the Ewigkeitsmärzt, and I mispronounced it, so all the Germans gave me shit for that.
Yep.
So this year I was like, okay, I'm going to mispronounce everything German on purpose. And Boyknecht got the bitter end of that.
How about Farbrausch? You did that pretty well. Though.
I did Farbrausch, but it sounds the same. So maybe next year it will be like Farbrewish or something.
Well, shall we have a quick cut and then have a look out for 2009? Maybe some rumors and snippets?
Yes. Let's have a song, because we have not much music. Let's have a song, and then we're back with all our guests and a recap of 2008 and a look ahead.
Yes. Oh, no, don't show me. Oh, no, don't show me. Oh, no, don't show me. Me and say, Paul. Me and say, Paul. Next say, be something you want. Next say, be something you want. More joy, less joy. More joy, less joy. Üveges nagy szemben, üveges nagy szememben, valaki benne ragyog. Milyen szép halott veszed. Mosolyos üveg ajkam, mosolyos üveg ajkam. Mosolyos ideg ajkam, köszönöm.
Üveges nagy szememben valaki benne ragyog. Milyen szép halott leszek.
Hey, and we're back after a beautiful song that Vincenzo.
Who? Whatever.
Somebody. And it was very good. So we're back.
Very good track. I especially like the intro. Very nice.
Now we've got some very professional sounding jingles as well, and then you get the show, which is one complete bollocks. So we're back with the podcast with our guests Gloom and Purix and Axel and me and Vincenzo behind the glass. So lads, Gloom and Purix, what were your favorite productions of 2008? I start with Gloom.
Well,
not Stargazer.
You're not allowed to pick something you worked on.
What? Oh, then Purix has to go first.
I kid.
I have the same problem.
Yeah, you only like the things you did yourself, right?
Oh, you active people.
Oh, you active.
But Gloom, a few like really quickly, a few things that touched you this year.
Well, I have to say, I really enjoyed Into the Pink, despite the somewhat dubious title. It was really amazing to watch it on the big screen for the first time.
It's how dirty your mind is, how dirty the title is. I had the same thing.
Yes, pretty much everyone goes there, but, well, it might just be me. Oh, I just outed myself.
We're all ruined by the internet. It's no problem.
I really liked it. It had all the elements that a good demo needs, and my absolute favorite part is when the little sphere crashes into the big sphere and it changes color with a little plink in the cell. It's marvelous. So that was good. And I also liked from Germany, from Pixter, his Intel demo competition. It's a little unpolished, but whenever I watch it, I guess, you know, goosebumps. It's amazing.
I mentioned this in the last podcast as well.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
One of my favorite moments.
It's very good. It's very good. And Purix?
Yes, I'll try not to mention some Danish stuff.
You can. It's not a. You don't have to do it if you're not involved. You just tell us which ones you liked.
Actually, I think the production that had the biggest, largest impact on me this year was, strangely, it was also the still demo from Intel demo competition. I don't know, there's something about it that I really like. Also, I really, really like the music, but it's technically, it's nothing special, but it just has something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, there's a certain kind of vibe. So that is, it's really, yeah. That's really good.
And is it? I mean, both Gloom, Purix, and myself, we all thought The Secret had something special. Can we probably nail it down to something? I mean, what do we got?
It's some kind of melancholic feeling. I don't know. It's a bit sad somehow. I don't know. It's yes, of course.
But I think also, and this has been misused and used and overused a lot of time, but people talking about quote-unquote direction. But I've spent a lot of time with Pixter, spending time in FMX of Germany, and also when he came to the US, and you can actually see that this guy has a plan when he makes something. And the working on Above with him as well a few years ago was also really cool, because he has like this... This is what I want to make, and this is how it has to be, because this is the story, and this is the vision, and this is how I want to do it. And then nothing is better than that, and you can see the end result, and Passing as well, which got mixed reviews, but I really enjoyed that as well.
The one thing that always comes to mind when I watch The Secret is the word elegance, because the movements of those particles, etc., they always strike me as being so elegant. I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah, elegant in their simplicity, I guess.
Yeah, what I really like is that this is a demo, 100% demo, but you don't have any doubt what it actually is about. You know, we're discussing it here, and it's hard to say, but inside it's not hard to see what it's about, and I think that's amazing that you can do that with a particular demo effect only.
Yeah, because there are also demos that are demos. Like, yep. You can split them into different categories, but you have the typical, and I'd say that the Danish people and Norwegian people have a tendency to make demos.
Yeah,
which I love, of course. I love demos, but this is something else, and it's also great.
With that, do you mean showing off effects, or what is a demo to you?
I think Stargazer is a perfect example of a demo.
Absolutely. That,
and all Excess demos ever made as well.
Absolutely.
Man, and Outrax demos as well, with perhaps the exception of Chris is going to hate me. I can't remember the name of it, but the Gathering one from a few years ago or last year.
Oh yes, I know which one you mean, and I don't know the name either. We're getting old.
Yeah, really old.
So anyway, about productions, I think of course there's the Half Bit Cheese. Amazing, yes. Wild demo this year. Field trip was we were gathered a couple of people in my flat here watching the live combo on stream, and we were really amazed what we saw. It was so amazingly cool, even though it's wild demo. It's like, no, you didn't release this in a scene combo. No, you didn't.
Yeah, yeah. I said before you guys joined, I already said to Axel, like, I've never been a fan of a group before. But I'm a fan of Half Bit Cheese. Every time they have a new production, I'm immediately downloading it, and it's such, the guys have like so much skill, and it's so cool.
I just wanted to ask, I mean, it's probably the only group along with Junk that really got me interested in actually wild demos, you know, watching wild demos and waiting actually for the compo to actually see it.
Yeah, if they participate.
Yeah, and this there is one other wild demo that I think was really cool. Well, two, actually, we have the one from Wildlife from The Gathering. The one, I can't remember the name of it, the one with the they put demo effects inside the videos.
There are a few of those. I can't remember if I saw one.
There's a donut in the refrigerator, and he touches the mirror in the bathroom, and it makes waves.
And that's a pretty old one, right?
Yeah, really old.
Yeah, that's because Yodel did one. And so, first, it was like 9 years ago or something. And I think it was Never or of a guy getting stuck in like demos at one point.
Yeah.
But they were both
pretty
good.
That was the last one I watched, and went, oh, this is really cool. And then Junk and APGs came along, and then it was fun again. But do you guys think that maybe now the real-time guys, if we can say it like that, has something to prove? Like, have we come to a point where the best demo scene productions are animations?
Yeah, I don't think they have anything to prove, because there were some very good real-time productions as well this year. I think it's good, I mean, because animation is getting bigger and bigger, we can do more at home, but the same goes for real-time stuff as well. I mean, if you look at some of the demos in 4K as well, you see that the real-time part is getting different, but it still is impressive.
Yeah.
For me, Atrium and Texas showed like the 4K is seriously growing with new technology as well.
No doubt about that. But it's a different feeling, you know, with the 4Ks and in demo scene, real-time demos, because if you look at the HBC stuff, it's always humor, you know? And the only demo scene productions that come close to having something like that is, I guess, the stuff that that K-Ops makes, the 64Ks, you know, the invitation for Evoke.
And the old design stuff as well.
Yeah, that's the only demo scene production I can think of that goes something along those lines of being actually funny and being, you know, as well directed.
With the vibe, yeah. I remember watching the Evoke Invitation scene event, going bloody hell. Really.
A lot of demo groups has the problem of you know, they don't have this kind of type that can come up with a very good storyboard. So usually you are falling back onto the demo stuff, right?
Or cliches. Then you get terrible demos, like that one from Assembly a few years back.
That one?
Unreal Voodoo made that demo.
Oh, yeah.
That's no offense to the... Yes, always say, when you say no offense, you're really going to offend somebody afterwards. But, I mean, they're probably nice guys, and they put a lot of work in it, but for me, that was, like, so trite, what you do there. So it's really hard. I mean, I remember at TakeOver in Holland a lot of years ago, we had Glon 243 released from the French, and that was actually a demo, and the whole crowd at the demo competition was laughing. It was very well done, and that's probably one of the only really funny demos that I ever saw. And the stuff that the French, they also did Orion, they also did Easter Egg. Yeah, it had like the vibe of making a demo, a story demo that was actually funny and well made.
I think it's because people doing wild demos, animated demos, it's kind of tradition that you're gonna have some kind of characters and some kind of story. Whereas as real time demos are more about once it was about pushing the hardware and it kind of still is, you know, you want to show off the effect, but it also to be nice to watch.
Absolutely. Anyway, I think it's good to divide the two. I mean, wild demo should be more, maybe even a bit more story wise than what you can do in animation. I don't know. I guess.
Absolutely. What are you guys looking out for 2009? What are you, can you probably reveal any secret what you guys are currently working on? I mean, are you guys doing anything for Breakpoint or any other party? I mean, Gloom, what are you working on right now? Is there any particular project?
I can only say that getting, apart from the kid, which is a huge project.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
A huge night.
We're not happy with fifth place. Let me just say it like that.
Right. Yeah. That's good.
We are not happy with the second place. Let's.
I like that. That's good spirit.
So that's enough for 2009.
But do you people think? Go ahead. Sorry.
And like apart from our own stuff, I guess one big thing for me personally is to see if there is going to be and we've seen 2009. Which we don't know yet.
Okay, so you're not going to give away more hardware, right?
We don't know. I don't know anything. It's being discussed at much higher levels than myself.
And who do you guys think are the people to look at for the next year? People that are new, maybe, or newer, show promise.
Yeah,
because I think Steel will be hopefully more interesting. Half Bitchies. Junk, hopefully, as well.
Well, I have the feeling that Half Bit Cheese are doing a release almost for every party they're participating. So I guess they're doing something. As I said, I don't know about Junk and new people. I really don't know. At least not from Denmark or the people I normally talk to. I don't know about ourselves. We hopefully we are going to do something for the competition. But even though we don't like the second place, we haven't started something yet.
That's hard.
It's 4K, so it won't take that long to do anyway.
That's easy.
Did you tell that to your coder or what?
No, I'm only the musician. But the other people always say, you're only the musician, you're doing nothing.
Yeah. It's a big misconception, people.
I heard that before.
Yeah, that's why I did 6 or 7 tunes for stuff this year, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well done.
And Nucleophile as well was just very easy to do. You just wrote the track and then you were finished, right?
Actually, I did that track and I think I did that track in 3 or 4 evenings because it was like the guys from Portal Process, Garble especially, asked me, are you able to do a track for 4K? Yes. When it's going to be released? At Assembly? And I was like, I just came from Solskogen and we've done quite some 4Ks and I worked with the 4K tool and I was like, now I'm going to have a break because next time I'm going to do something really cool for NVZine, which was just a bit later, and then Gabel asked me, I was like, no, not again. But it luckily it came out very, very good, so.
Yeah, we have that as musician. That's the easy part. If you're actually on a roll, you can finish a song in a few evenings.
Yes, sometimes it works, and sometimes it really, really don't.
That's true as well.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do when it doesn't work. It's just like, no.
I have so many tunes that are like a minute and a half, and I'm like, what now? And that's always the point where you're making a song, and it goes well, and it goes well, and at one point you go like, and now what? And then it just stays a minute and a half, and you never finish it.
Exactly. It's my good for when you're lazy, you can dig something up and do something out that, and you think, oh, that sounded great. Let's finish it.
I was recently working on a song that I made in 1997. Ooh. And I started working on it again. And it's really hard because I had no idea what I was doing back then. So it's not always true that it's easy, but fair enough. And then I usually just enter my songs in Evoke and then everything is fine.
How long did you work on the Atrium soundtrack, actually?
It wasn't that long either, but I think it was at least, you know, not full-time, a couple of weeks, but you know, right. Some evenings and some longer sessions. Me, Mentor, and I were sitting here in the flat, and I think I started something there, and then Mentor and Lemus were gathering for the weekend, and I was chatting with them online and did the music while chatting with them as well. So I think 2 weeks or something.
But did you at some point start to realize, okay, this is going to be something bigger than, you know, this is going to be something that has an impact in a lot of ways?
It's strange, because when you're doing your own projects, you're actually having a hard time to, you know, you know that it's good, but you don't know if it really has this impact, because you've seen it like 100 and you've listened to it 100 times, so it's like you're used to it, you've seen it.
I think this is gonna actually Atrium. I think that Atrium is gonna be the only 4K soundtrack that's gonna be nominated as best soundtrack of 2008.
You think it'll be nominated?
That's gonna be my, yeah, I think so.
100%. Okay, And what I really like is when you see the TBC 4Ks and the music is getting so much better with every production. It's really cool, because you've guys grown so much, and it became so much more impressive because of that. So well done there, absolutely.
Thank you. Actually, the synthesizer has been almost the same since Candy Stall from last year. We've added a bit to the mixing, and we have added some reverb and some other smallish stuff, but it's, I guess it's me getting more used to the
synth. I guess that works as well. I mean, the musician getting used to it. You saw that with Smash and Reed as well. Reed getting more used to the synth, making better music, and you have the same thing, and that's really cool. You're really getting everything out of it.
Hey, Gloom, have you ever made the 4K soundtrack?
Yes.
I have. yes. My evil twin brother has. But it didn't turn out.
Stands for that shitty Norwegian group.
Yes.
With the three letter one?
The three letter name.
All of them were shady. No, I think I did do something, and I keep wanting to do more 4K stuff, and I know I'm working with Duckers and Garble as well on this, the two different synths, the competing Norwegian synths. but the thing is that everyone approaches it like a coder, so you have to sit down and learn the tools. And when you have, you know, work and kid and blah blah blah, it's easier just to sit down with Acid and do it in MIDI instead. Right. So you end up doing just, you know, MP3 or Gorbis stuff.
How about you, Purix? Are you going beyond 4K stuff more in the future, or?
Well,
he already has.
Yeah. But
just listen to his listen to his Soulspoken track. Oh man, that's wicked cool.
But that was only 2.3K.
And not to Garden Gabriel.
not really packed that hard, actually. Anyway, I can't promise anything. We're always talking about doing something else. I'm open to all kinds of music. I was lucky that we did create a nice synth. I was lucky that Mentor was available to, or was ready to stay in my flat, and we can develop the synthesizer together. I was pointing and saying I want this, and then he kind of coded
that
it.
That's nice.
and when I had to work it afterwards, it was a bit easier to me, because I got some of the stuff that I wanted.
And of course, Atrium, of course, is special as well, because it's the last production that Lemus worked on.
Yes,
I guess that must have been a very hard blow for the Danish demo scene.
It's weird, because I've been in the demo scene for 11, 12 years or something like that now, and back in the days I was an Amiga demo scener, and Lemus was too, together with Blueberry, so I knew Lemus from back then, and he was kind of away from the scene for a lot of years, many years, and then he came back, I think it was last year at some point, maybe even before that. And with a large enthusiasm and you know, he did a lot of good stuff, and we really, our work was really got somewhere with his ideas and his skills. So it was very, you know, weird that somebody that was really happy and really doing, you know, awesome stuff was like, now I'm away, I'm gone.
That's very sad.
I'm not that close to him, so I don't know him really personally, but his work was together with us was really awesome, and it was weird, you know, because he was very, very enthusiastic about it.
Yeah, it makes Atrium even that more special. Because you know it was the last thing that he worked on, and luckily he still made that, and is still there to show everybody what he could do.
Yes, of course, and in his, you know, most of the visuals and ideas in that intro, it's, you know, it's not groundbreaking ideas, but that's his skills. So yeah, that's awesome. Hopefully we
already mentioned for Atrium.
Well, Atrium will be a special milestone in the demo scene anyway, so I think it also get recognition for best direction, etc. So I think Atrium will be one of the big Scene Org awards this year, or like next year.
or anyway, so, in 5, 2008 good productions.
Absolutely. So I think we should start to wrap this up, probably.
Yes, is there anything you guys want to talk about while you are here in the awesome podcast of awesome? Where you can lay out your dreams.
Oh, you awesome can drop your pants, actually.
And drop your pants if you want to.
Oh, let me just...
Oh, that's awesome.
What that?
Just put the sound.
It's down.
Chewing gum.
Ben took his pants down. Excellent.
I think that's the worthy way to go out.
Fair enough. Actually, you should have taken your pants off when we started, and now you have to take them on again. You know,
you just lift them off.
Yeah, I have to stay with them off until we record the next one.
Absolutely.
That's good.
But is there anything you guys want to talk about before we're done?
Well, I like to promote a bit for the Danes. If any of the Danes are listening to this podcast, we're hopefully we're quite surely doing the bus to Breakpoint again next year, and hopefully we will have some kind of BSA side up in a few days where you can sign up, and hopefully we'll have another 30-35 Danish seniors coming along, and hopefully they'll all drop their pants.
Yes. Nice. I'm looking forward to it. As I said before,
seeing that at Breakpoint,
the chiseled Danes with their bodies of steel.
So all Danes who are listening, who should they contact?
They should contact me.
How?
They can do it. I'll probably make a thread on Puet. Otherwise, they can contact me from Messenger or whatever. And the site that I'll put up will probably be something like bus.purix.dk when it comes up.
Okay. Some point. So all right. Danes should probably go to Puet.net. POU.
if you don't know what that is when you're listening to this, then just go onto the internet and type in horrible pictures, and you will find it.
Do the voice for Puet.net.
Come on, Aki. You have to do your C.org awards / trailer voice for Puet.net.
All right.
For everybody, for the newest information about Demo Scene All Productions, all Flame Wars, and everything horrible and awesome about Demo Scene, go to www.puet.net. Everything you've ever dreamed of will be there. www.puet.net.
Very nice. Very nice.
And you don't say, it actually then sounds like something Professor Pippa Godek are like, what the hell is this? It's all blue and sticky.
Oh, that's nice. Also, can I add just a little bit before we cut it off?
Sure.
Everyone should vote for the C.org Awards nominations when they come out. If people don't vote, then the results will be shit, and you're to blame.
Yes, so, because it's in your hands, it's no conspiracy at all, just vote. And make it happen.
You just say it's in your pants.
It's in your pants.
I think you're.
Yes, as well. It's fine. It's in your pants. In your hands. Oh god, it's getting all wrong.
Sounds like a closing word.
I think we should wrap up the show. Thank you very much, Gloom and Purex, for joining us.
Everyone have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Yes.
be talking to you in 2009. And thanks for Purixing the Gloom.
Yes, and looking forward to see you all again at demo parties or on the internet. And everybody out there listening, thank you for listening. And we'll be back in the new year with more podcasts and more stuff and guests and, I don't know, elephants.
And less pants.
Less pants, definitely.
Less pants, absolutely no pants. This is one pants-free show.
Yeah. Let's drop our pants right now. You guys, bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
News, info, stuff from all over the scene.
Simon, the radio show with your host, Axel Anaki.